So we've been talking about some big questions over the last several weeks. I hope you enjoyed this 7-week journey of going through some of these questions. Perhaps you learned something new, or perhaps you were reminded of something that you forgot. Sometimes I think as followers of Jesus, the longer we go, the more we just need reminding of things because we just forget, okay? Just like, where did I put my keys, okay? Wow, I forgot about that in the Bible and how much I needed that in my life. So last week was all about that God and his loving kindness is writing an amazing story in our lives. And we're going to kind of continue on part of that theme this morning, this whole idea of trusting the story that God is writing and really surrendering ourselves to that story with this question: so what should I do with my life? Right? We've gone through this journey of all these questions, and then it's, what do I do in my life? Now, I'm not talking specifically about, what job should you have and that. This whole idea of this idea of life itself. What should I do then with my life? What should I offer then my life to in light of everything that God has done and all these different things that he has experienced and he's given to me and he has done for me? So what should I do then with my life? Okay, so in other words, God is writing a story, but what do we do with the story? Are we going to trust that story, or are we going to give in to fear? Those are really the two options, that we either trust the story that God is writing, or we give in to fear. And every time we give in to fear, we just have a tendency, I'm just telling you, to make bad choices and go down wrong roads and end up in places we really didn't want to end up. But it's all because we just didn't trust the story, we just gave in to fear. And you can read this all throughout your Bible. You can read this all throughout your Bible, and you can say, like, how did Abraham get to the point where all of a sudden, right, he just gave up on this promise that God gave them, and Sarah comes in and says, okay, we got to figure this out ourselves. And Hagar comes in and gives birth to Ishmael, okay? And we're like, why did he do that? Because they did not trust the story. They didn't trust the story at that part. They gave in to fear. Uh-oh, we got to figure this out, okay? I guess God forgot about us. You know, we're in our 90s without kids. That's a problem, okay, for God who's going to give us an heir. And they just gave in to fear. And we all do this. We give in to fear that, oh, no. Maybe God's not going to answer this prayer. Oh no, maybe God's really not in charge. Maybe I got to figure this whole thing out myself. And so we give in to fear and we don't trust the story that God is writing. And really today, the word's going to be surrender. Really, when we get to this idea of what does it mean to trust the story God is writing and not give in to fear, it means to surrender. To surrender our lives, to surrender everything to who Jesus is, and to offer our lives to him. And it's an act of surrender. And it's the passage we look at today in Romans chapter 12, and you can turn there. We'll be in the first few verses of Romans 12. It is all about this idea of surrender. That when I get to this point, I need to surrender my life. Now, I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, a lot of followers of Jesus don't get to this point. They get to this point of surrender, and I don't know if I can do that. If I surrender my life, God might do something stupid and send me to Africa, okay? And I don't know if I want to do that, right? That's just fear. That is fear. If I surrender my life, what's God? God's going to make me give away all my good stuff, right? He's going to tell me, oh, it's terrible, it's awful, and I got to go live in a one-room shack, okay? Right? That's fear, that we're not willing to surrender because we don't trust the story. And let me tell you, you can follow Jesus. You can end up going to heaven, okay? This is not a matter of your salvation. It's a matter of your life. Are you willing to surrender it to Jesus or not? That's really what it is. And are you willing to trust the story that he is writing, or are you going to give in to fear? Because fear is going to tell you, oh, don't surrender. If you surrender, God's going to ask you to do something crazy, okay? If you surrender, you're going to end up in a place where you don't want to be. If you surrender, God's going to make you give up that thing you really, really like and that thing you really, really enjoy. So don't. Surrender is what most of us go to. Because surrender means, wow, I really got to trust the story instead of giving in to fear. And when Paul turns the page into Romans 12, he really talks about this. What it really looks like to trust the story is surrender. So Romans 12, starting at verse number 1, and some of you, you've heard these verses before. We've looked at these verses before because they're really, really powerful and they're really, really important. And these are verses you can memorize because you just need to keep going back to them over and over again. Say, and so, dear brothers and sisters, and all depends what translation you're using, how different this sounds, how you might have memorized it growing up. Okay? And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done to you. It's this idea of sacrifice. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Well, that sounds a lot like the word surrender, because it's the same idea. Give them to God. Just offer them up to God. This is truly the way to worship him. Yeah, we were singing, we give, that is the way of worship, but you want to totally worship in your life, then offer yourself up to him, because this is truly the way to worship him. And then he tells us, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, all depends on your translation. You've read that lots of different ways, right? Don't conform to the patterns of this world, right? All sorts of different ways. Here's the problem with translating this little section, okay? It's really hard. Even in this translation, it's don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, okay? Here's the problem with that. Paul does not use an active verb, okay? You know what an active verb is, which it's got action to it. He uses a passive word, and we don't do that very often, okay? Because here's what Paul is trying to communicate, but it's really, really hard to go from Greek to English here because we don't have anything that's passive enough to talk about it. So in other words, this is not an action to copy or to pattern your life or to do. It's not an action to copy the behaviors and customs of the world. It's passive. It will happen to you, okay? It happens to you. Living in this world, we end up mimicking, copying what we see around us. We're just going to do that. You just need to know that. That's what we're going to do. We're going to copy. We're going to mimic the patterns that we see around us. You don't have to try. You know, say, okay, today I'm really going to copy what everybody's doing. You just do it, right? Did any of you have to tell your kids, okay, kids, go to school, learn what everybody else is doing and copy what they're doing, right? You came home and said, where'd you learn that, okay? I didn't teach you that. Where did you learn how to do that? Oh, they copied what was around them. And it wasn't an action. It was just passive. It's what's around us ends up filtering into our lives, and all of a sudden we end up mimicking, copying, going after a pattern. It's passive. It's not active, so it's really, really hard to translate. Now, if you wonder if this is true, all you have to do is go to the first page in your Bible, Genesis 1, and know that the world, the pattern, the custom of the world we live in, totally goes against God. You're at one verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whoops. Wait a minute, I thought there was a Big Bang. I thought, you know, we crawled out of the primordial ooze, okay? That we are just a random grouping of subatomic particles. Isn't that who we are? Right? One verse in, we are in conflict in the world in which we live with what God says. In the beginning, God created, whoops, time out. And then it just happens more. I mean, you just go a little bit further down, and you have God creating everything, and he gets to what? He gets to Adam and Eve and he says he did what? Male and female, he created them. Just fill out your Facebook profile. Do you know how many options you have? 58 options. I mean, male and female made the list, but you got 56 other choices, okay? So now we're in conflict again, right? The pattern of this world tells us something very different than what God's telling us. And it's like, what are we going to do? So I'm just going to tell you, this is why it's passive. It will suck into you, it creeps into you, and if you're not careful, you end up copying the patterns of this world if you don't know what God actually says. Go into chapter 2 and he talks about marriage. Ooh, there's one, right? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, unite to his wife, and two would become one flesh. Gosh, we've thrown that right out the window. Hey, let's move in, let's live together. Right? Let's forget all that even. Let's just sleep together. Why does any of that matter anymore? That's what will suck and soak in to our kids and soak into our lives. All the lies and the deceit of the world, because it's in total contradiction to God. And that's why we have to know what God says. Okay? And I know, right? I know it's really, really hard in our world, because the world is totally against Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Just start there. And you run into total conflict, and people telling you, you know, you hate people. I've been there, okay? Been there, been down that road. And none of that's true. This is the pattern God had set. God invites us to walk this life following him, and he invites us, hey, follow this pattern. This is the pattern to life. This is the pattern to thriving. This is the pattern to a fulfilled life. Get off this path. I'm just going to tell you, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of misery. And many of you know it. Because this was the house that you grew up in, that this was, you know, this is the family, this is the people that you know, and this is what you see. Because Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we can't even follow. We can't even get two pages into the Bible, and we're just totally lost. So he says, this is passive. This is just gonna leak and just soak into your life if you don't know, and if you don't allow God to transform your thinking and change you into a new person. It will just leak, it will just soak in, and you'll all of a sudden be following things that God says, no, I don't want you to follow that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to tell somebody, oh, it's fine if you do that. I don't want you to lead them into their bondage. I want you to lead them out of their bondage. I want you to lead them out of where they're at. Don't leave them there. So he says, don't copy those. Then you will learn to know God's will for your life. Very hard to know with every other thing, you know, just filtering into your life. Then you'll know what God's will is for you, which is good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect. And those are three incredible words we just need to remind ourselves of. And when God says, follow me, and he invites us, and we're walking in that way, okay? There are times it's not going to feel that way. There are times you're going to question it. But it is good, it is pleasing, and it is perfect. That God has a plan and is writing a story in everything that he is doing. So the first part, surrender, it's the only response to the mercy of God. Many of your translations at the beginning of chapter 12 have a word called therefore, which just takes us back to the previous chapter and says, in light of all that God has done for us, why wouldn't we just surrender to him? It is the only response to the mercy of God that we would surrender our lives. He continues, because of the privilege and authority that God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you. Surrender is that our identity is found in Christ. That's what he's asking them to surrender to. Wait a minute. Some of you got this wrong as you're evaluating yourself. Some of you think you're better than somebody else. You're kind of lost. And in the Greek world, they were lost as much as we are with our identity. And our identity just gets just hooked up into all sorts of things. And then we don't know what to do with ourselves because our identity's in our job. And then we get to the day when we lose our job. Or we get to the day we retire from our job. And then we don't know what to do because, well, that's my whole identity. And I don't know who I am anymore because I don't have this. And that's because our identity leaked out. It got formed into our job. It got pushed on us. And that's who we thought we were apart from what Jesus says we are. And it happens to all of us in different ways, in different seasons. We lose our identity. And he says, no, I want you to get a good, honest evaluation of who you are. And I want you to see yourself through the eyes of Christ. Continue. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And this is the truth. This is what God does. He has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, and now he's just going to talk about some. This is not an exhaustive list, okay? So if you read this list and go, well, I don't think I'm any of these, I guess God doesn't love me. It's over. It's a terrible day. What an awful sermon, Ed. Come on, right? So this is not a full list. He's just saying, hey, if you have this gift, use it. Do it. Fulfill it. And that way you're surrendering to what God has for your life. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, I don't know why that word throws so many people off. Oh, all these Old Testament prophets, they so often were telling the people what was going on. Okay, you're sinning, you've lost your sense of justice, you are oppressing people. There's so many great messages in the prophets, but we hear that word and somehow we think it means, oh, I can see into the future. And I don't think that's right. Very little of that was that type of prophecy. God was doing some amazing things and setting forth Jesus who would come. And so we just get all caught up in that word. If God has given you the ability to speak truth, whether that's on a stage, whether that's in a Bible study, in a circle, whether that's one-to-one, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. That his word is true, that his word is perfect, that his word can speak into our life in every and all situations. That's what it says. So speak out, believing that this is God's word, that it is powerful, it is active, the word is alive. So speak out with that much faith. That his word works, and that it's powerful, and it works powerfully in our lives if we're allowed to. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. Serve them well. If you're good at serving, if you like serving, if you like those opportunities, then serve well. Do it your full ability. Don't say, well, all I can do is serve. I mean, I can't speak out like this person does. I guess I'm nothing. This is what we do. We don't trust the story that God is writing. And Paul is saying that God has given all these different gifts. So if your gift is serving, serve well. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't give in to fear. Serve well. If you are a teacher, teach well. Teach well. Open up the word. Teach it. In a group. In a large group. In a small group. One-on-one. If it's teaching, then teach it well. Because we all, at times, need the instruction of God's word. And we all have to get that into our lives constantly. Somebody teaching us, helping us understand. And this is what I love about God's word. And I know I've said this before, but it's just amazing. You can read the same story over and 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 over again. And the next time somebody can bring it up and say something new, and you're like, whoa. That's why I like different translations of the Bible, because different words will trigger different things within me. Okay? And let me think about something differently than I thought about it before. But it is amazing. For an example, I can't remember how old I was. Okay? Young, really young, 4 or 5 probably, when someone first told me the story in Sunday school of David and Goliath. Isn't it an awesome story? Right? And you know the Sunday that they teach David and Goliath. You know why? All the boys are out back throwing rocks after church, okay? That's just the way it is, okay? And all the parents are like, oh, no, don't hit a window. Don't hit a window, right? Don't break anything. You know it's that Sunday, and everybody's, woo! All the boys are excited throwing rocks, right? So I've heard that story my entire life. Listen to somebody teaching it the other day. Did you know? And they said something, how do you know that? How'd I miss that, right? This is amazing. Because that's God's word. It is alive. It is active. So we need to teach. We need to teach well. And you don't need to say, oh, yeah, but everybody's heard that passage. No, no, no. God does stuff all the time in those passages and works in a powerful way. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Hey, if that's your gift, show up and encourage others, right? Pump them up, right? Speak powerfully into their life. If it is giving, then give generously. That doesn't mean we look right when we have offerings. Say, hey, not my gift. Don't have to give. No, it's not that. Right? Some of us have the gift of giving. Where we love to do that. It's a part of what we do. And it's part of what God has gifted us. If God has given you leadership ability, then take the responsibility seriously. Don't say, oh, I'm a leader. I got a title. That's what I need. No. Just take it seriously. God has given you a role, a responsibility, so take it that way and see what God might do in and through you. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. God has given me gifts to use, and I need to surrender myself to using those gifts. Okay, God, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do in and through me, I just want you to use me. And so help me to find how you've gifted me. Most of you know. If you don't know, somebody in your life should tell you. Do you understand that's part of the way we should work as a church? We should be helping one another discover their gifts. You should be jumping in different roles and finding out, okay, what am I good at? How can I serve? Where's my gifting that God has given me? And figure that out and get plugged in to those areas, because that's part of surrender. That God has given me gifts to use, and I'm going to surrender my life to using those gifts and to see what God might do if I would use those gifts. So, the question today is, are you trusting the story or giving into fear? Are you trusting the story that God is writing? Or are you giving in to fear? Because it happens all the time. I'm just telling you, this is just the default thing we do, is give in to fear, go to comparisons, and we don't surrender our lives to God. We're scared. Yep, if I do that, God's going to make me do this. God's going to make me give up this. And I don't know if I want to do that. Okay? And we don't surrender our lives and leave everything else up to God. The best thing you can do with your life is to surrender it to God and trust the story that He is writing. So, just about a year ago, we're getting ready for Belize trip. And the theme we used for Belize last year was surrender. Gave everybody little white flags. I have no idea what you did with them. It's okay, all right? But the whole idea was, am I going to surrender to what God wants to do? Well, part of that was this prayer that had been, that I was at a conference and got, and I reshaped it a little bit for the team. They went down there, and I told them to get up and pray it every day, and it probably felt weird. And some of you are like, do I have to do this? This is stupid, right? But anyway, the idea was that I need to take a moment and just surrender my life. And what if I did this every day, and what would this look like? So I want to give you a new version, okay? A version that's not tied to a trip, right? It's not tied to something specific. So I tried to generalize some of this and try to make it apply to what we've been talking about. Here's what I've asked, okay? And I will send this out an email, and I'll post it later. You can take a picture when I show it here in a second. This is what I asked. This is a great way to start your day. So I take this day, and how do I surrender it to what God wants to do? Okay, how can I do that? This might be a great way to start doing that, okay? You might have a better way, go for it. I'm trying to offer you a way so you can start every day surrendered to God's will in your life, to God's purpose, for the story that God is writing, that day you're not going to choose to give in to fear, but you're going to trust the story God is writing. Okay? So here we go. You're like, wow, this is long. Yeah, it might take 15 seconds, right? All depends how fast you pray, okay? All right? It doesn't take very long, okay? But this is really simple. God, this is a new day. I freshly commit myself to the story that you are writing in my life. I find my identity in you and thank you for the gifts that you've given me. I joyfully offer all of myself to you and will trust your story. It's pretty simple, but it's just everything we talked about packed into one, okay? I'm going to commit myself to you in the story that you're writing. I'm going to give it a fear. I'm going to find my identity in you, and I know all day I'm going to be told my identity is my job, and my identity is my role, and my identity is, you know, something else. I'm going to be told that all day. Okay, so I might as well start out the day saying, my identity is in you. Thank you for the gifts that you've given me, because you're all gifted. Whether you understand it or not, whether you embrace it or not, whether you think someone else has more gifts than you, doesn't matter. You are all gifted. And we should start the day by thanking God for the gifts that He has given me. And then I joyfully offer. Now, I'm really apprehensive. Please don't make me do something I don't want to do today. It's I joyfully offer all of myself to you and will trust your story. What would it look like if we just started our day that way? By simply offering ourselves to God and surrendering that day to say, "What God, what might you do today? I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, I have my plan. I have my schedule. I have all the stuff that's packed into my calendar that I'm like, oh no, right? All this stuff to do. So I kind of know the direction and all this stuff, but I have no idea what you might do in all of this, God. So what if you started the day by surrendering it to you and asking you to help me to trust the story that you're writing? I'm just going to guarantee you're going to look at the day a little bit differently than you did before. Just going to help you. think about the day a little bit differently than you did before. Because you started today by surrendering to what God was going to do. The way he was going to lead, the way he's going to direct you, the things that are going to come into your life, they're totally unexpected. And that you're just going to trust that God has a plan in the midst of all of it. And that's what I'm just trying to encourage you to do. Because this idea of surrender, I'm just telling you, it's just an idea that most people, when they get to this point in their walk of faith, struggle with. Because it's scary. Because it's scary. Come on, it's scary. It's scary because you have no idea where your life might end up, what else might happen, and what might take place. So we think it's safer to not surrender, to keep control of our life, and figure it out as we go. And then at times we get very frustrated with God. Well, God, why aren't you working more through me? And why am I missing what you're doing? And sometimes we'll see other people getting this. And we'll be like, why am I missing out? Because you've never taken a simple step to surrender everything you have. Okay, God, whatever you want to do. I'm going to trust you to write that story. I know it's scary because you might ask me to do things that I don't know if I'm going to be able to do, right? And I might need someone else to walk alongside me and help me do some difficult and hard things. But I'm going to trust the story. I'm going to refuse to give in to fear and just let that fear wheel just go on in my mind. Oh, you can't do this because this will happen and that will happen and this will be bad. I'm going to trust the story. So there's the end. The best thing you can do with your life is to surrender to God and trust the story that he is writing. That's my encouragement for you today. That's what I hope you will at least attempt to do. Okay? At least start off. I mean, Monday's a great day to surrender to God, right? It's terrible anyway, right? It's going to go bad, so, right? Something's going to go wrong on Monday. It's Monday, okay? So what a better thing to do on Monday than get up and surrender to God and say, whatever you want me to do, however this day goes, I'm just going to trust the story that you are writing. So let's pray, just ask God to work in powerful ways in our life as we surrender them to him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for your help today. I pray that the whispers of fear would just be drowned out. They'd just be silenced. All the self-talk that says, no, but if I surrender to God, he's going to make me. Some of those things we already know we should be doing, and we just have enough courage to do it. Because we're very comfortable where we are. Some of them we're just unsure about. And the whispers of fear keep us from surrendering fully. We don't want to do that anymore. And because of all your incredible mercy to us, we want to offer our lives to you. Trust the story you are writing. Refuse to give in to fear and see what you might do in our lives on a daily basis as we trust you, as we surrender to you. So I ask for your help because this is not an easy step. It requires a lot of courage and commitment. Say, I'm willing to surrender to the story that you are writing. Because Father, you just have ways of taking us in directions that are really scary at times, but are greatly fulfilling. And I pray we would follow you, we would surrender to you, and we would watch as you write an amazing story in our life, far better than we could ever write controlling our own lives. So help us to surrender to you and all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me hit a few announcements this morning. So next Sunday,